Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. That's right, I am joined tonight by my love, my lady, my partner, my best friend, my favorite person in the world, my wife. Hi, Robin.
Hi, honey. How are you this evening?
How you doing?
Trying to stay awake.
Uh-oh. All right, well, we'll see what we can do about entertaining you this evening.
Okay.
So, apparently, though, our guest is having some difficulties. So, we are scheduled to have Mojo Kemp with us. I know that there was communication with him earlier today, so not quite sure what's going on. We're just going to press on. I know that we have a pool of questions that people have sent us for Ask a Witch shows and such. So I thought we would grab something out of the bag and talk about that for a little while and see if our guest makes it. And if not, it'll just be an Ask a Witch show for the evening.
Yeah, we could do that. It'll work.
All right. All righty then. Well, let's see. Did you have something in mind, a question that's been asked recently? I know we covered a few things.
Yeah, actually, I do have a question.
Okay. All right.
Yep. I had a question from a young lady who's trying to start her own coven. And the people in the coven are all very inexperienced and looking to her for guidance. And she's had some experiences and she's got some knowledge. She's been to a few events and taken some classes. But she's not exactly sure how to start a coven, what the structure should be, what she should be teaching these people, what she should do, basically. So her question is, if she wants to start a coven and she wants to teach the people in the coven, what are the most important things for them to learn in their first year?
Ooh, most important things to learn in your first year. Hmm. Well, I mean, I know one of our standard answers to that is, you know, you need to develop a relationship first with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And have a true connection with some deity form. Even if it's archetypal mother or archetypal father or stag king or maiden, you need to have some go-to form of the divine with which you work. I think that that has to happen pretty early, so that you're actually walking a pagan path. And then a few other things would be learning about and developing a relationship with the elementals. You know, we teach that relatively early. That's the source of the energies that we use. And, you know, I could go deeper into that, but we've done this on, you know, a deep conversation on that on multiple shows. Learning how to do your own rituals. Being able to call the quarters, cast a circle, call the deity forms with which you're working. Group ritual does not replace personal private ritual. It is a supplement. It is something that is nice to do. But if you are walking a pagan path, you're going to be doing some form of personal private ritual to honor the moons on the full moon night. Because a lot of groups meet on a certain night of the week. You know, we do our full moon rituals on the Tuesday night nearest. Well, sometimes that's a few days off. So that should not replace you doing your own personal private ritual on the full moon. The same with the Sabbaths. Being able to fully participate in a group ritual and be able to call the quarters or do something like that without memorizing, without you know, having to have a script written down, but have something that you can say from the heart, and that all comes with developing that relationship and understanding the elementals and the divine. Those are my big big first year talking points. What about you? Robin, are you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I was thinking. well, yeah.
That doesn't,
you covered.
Think out loud, you're on radio.
Sorry. you were talking about covering, you know, certain aspects and starting with your relationship with the divine, the elementals. You've got to also develop a relationship with each of the elements and their elemental beings and understand why you are calling them in circle. You know, once we stop understanding why we do what we do, and it just becomes this sort of rote, memorized thing that we do, then it stops having deep meaning. And all too often people stand in circle and speak things and do things and have no idea what they mean or why they're doing them. What's the origins or what is the significance of this? Another thing that I like to make sure people have some concept of and connection to in their first year is chakras, knowing that your chakras, knowing what they represent, knowing how to open and close them and manipulate the flow of energy in your own body.
Okay, good one. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I would think that you've got to, in your first year, by the end of your first year, you've got to be able to do an entire ritual, full moon ritual, for yourself, by yourself, and then for your coven as well, and be able to stand in circle and speak to your gods and call your elements without having it written down, and just do it. I think those are important for me.
No, absolutely. We covered pretty much the same ground with your addition of the chakras, which is very, very valid. And knowing why you're doing these things is so important. And in fact, we can recommend our series of shows in the archives where we covered in depth each and every one of the steps of ritual and why we do it and how to do it and all of that. So if you're looking for teaching aids, there's a resource that is available in the archives, and perhaps that's something that we could compile and put in an easier to find form now that it has been brought to our attention. So that would be, I think, the first year. And if you get to that point, you can pretty well stand on your own. And, you know, that's the key, is getting someone through that first year and helping them to become an integral part of the community. And another thing that I would say is, you know, while a coven is a chosen family, reaching out and going to places and other people's events as a group, supporting other groups in the community, if there's an open ritual going on or a pagan pride, getting involved in the community is so important, not just to, get your little clique and stay insular, but to reach out to the community and be a part of what is going on around you is vital to building the community and to supporting each other. And when you need help, you can call on someone.
Very true. And another thing, you know, she's talking about starting a coven and what can she teach these people. And sometimes it's not about teaching them magic or the craft. It's about teaching them how to interact and have constructive interpersonal relationships. And we always talk here about, as a teacher, your job is to validate your students' experiences, not tell them how to have the experiences. Certainly share your experiences with them and share your knowledge with them, but everybody's going to have their experience in their own unique way. And everybody's going to walk their path in their own unique way. So you can't put a round peg into a square hole. You shouldn't try. If you've got somebody who's, you know, a round peg, and they're going to do their own thing no matter what, so let them do their own thing. Don't fret that they don't do it like everybody else does. They don't do it the way you like it done. There's a lot of tolerance. Well, there's a lot of tolerance that has to be built into being a teacher of the craft, and a coven high priestess. You know, you've got to respect that other people have a different path and a different operating system, if you will, and how they're going to relate to their deity than you might.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and I think that it was interesting. You mentioned, you know, spell work and stuff like that. I think it was interesting that the first things that you and I both mentioned on our first year list, there was no spell work in it. We're not all that concerned with spell work. If you're teaching new people to be witches, teach them the religion of being witches. That's what we, you know, that's what we led with. I mean, that was both of us. We're talking about that relationship with the divine, that relationship with the elements, that understanding what we do, why we do it. All of that was from the religion, expression of faith aspect of it. Not about going out and doing love spells or this, that spell or whatever. That will come with time. And a new person that is being called to lead doesn't always necessarily have to be the teacher. Sometimes they can be a facilitator of everyone learning together. Say up front, I don't have the answer to that. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Let's find out together. I know somebody to call. If you are honest with your group and you facilitate the learning for everyone, then you grow as a leader and you all grow as witches. So never be afraid to admit you don't have an answer, but I'll find out.
Yeah.
Because the quickest thing that people will smell bullshit a mile off, and then you lose credibility.
Uh-huh.
So, don't be that person. Be the I don't have an answer, but I'll find out person that people can respect. Just be a facilitator. So, what else have we got?
Here's one that talks about...
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Well, I've got one I've got one that was given to us by our assistant manager. And this is an interesting question. And it's a young lady... out of Montana, who's asking, do we always have to celebrate the high holidays publicly? Kind of interested in, I would like to know more about the question. Mm-hmm. But the short answer is no. Who said we did? Now, if you are wanting to reach out into the community and you have an opportunity and a place to do open public ritual, it is certainly a meaningful experience. It's a great learning experience for the leader, because any group ritual experience is good. Even if it goes badly, if you learn from it, it's good. But also it gets you out into the community and creates outreach, as I was saying, what to do in the first year kind of question about outreach. You will find that almost any question is going to ultimately, with Robin and I, involve learning why we do things, connecting with the divine and the elementals, and reaching out into the community. Those will almost always be a part of any answer we give. And that's because those are the most critical things that I think we need to do. Robin and I are very much about building community. So is it necessary? No. And we don't always do public ritual. I mean, we share our rituals here on Tuesday night. Here on this station. But no, you're absolutely not obligated to do anything. You're a witch. You don't have, there's no rules. But yeah, it's a great means of outreach if you have the capacity to do such. Robin, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that anytime you can connect with other people and reach out, you're going to come away with a more deepened experience and knowing yourself better and improving yourself. And, as we often talk about, this path is about self-improvement as a way of honoring the gods and respecting ourselves.
Yeah, and self-awareness comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. If you learn about yourself, like I said, even if it goes badly, you can learn from that and grow from it.
Absolutely.
And turn anything into a learning experience. I was telling someone earlier today that the road of life is constantly bombarded with boulders. And there's any number of ways to get around that boulder. And it's not... The solution is not always the same. Sometimes you got to go around it to the left. Sometimes you go around it to the right. Sometimes you go over it. Sometimes you just blast it into a million pieces and keep going. The fact that you keep pushing forward, if you go around to the left and find out there's a swamp and then you change direction and go the other way, you learn from that experience. You've grown from that experience. So even adversity is an opportunity for growth if we embrace the lesson.
Well, I think adversity is one of the best ways to teach and to learn anything, because we have to deal with it. It's not easy.
Yeah. I think that's the mechanism by which the universe teaches.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think that's the whole reason we incarnate. So, what was your next question, or did you have more on this one? Robin?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I'm sorry. Repeat the question. I'm horribly distracted this evening.
Okay. I was asking, did you have any more on this particular question, or do you have another question to ask?
Well, no, I don't have anything else at this time. I think Niv might have some questions that she was going to send over. That was my understanding.
Okay. Well, she did send that one over. And let's see. Then there was also, I'm not sure if this is a question exactly, but there's just a comment about basic tool usage and cleansing. And I think cleansing is something that we could address.
Okay.
Psychic hygiene is definitely something that we should... definitely something that we should look into and maybe teach early on. So what are your thoughts on psychic hygiene?
Well, I think we just did a show about this not that long ago where we talked at great length about it. I am kind of two minds about this topic. I think that people get too hung up on it. I'm being... vexed from afar, I'm being cursed or somebody's sending me negative energy and all that. And then on the other hand, I think that sometimes it's good to clear out the negative energy in your space, because I do think sometimes the house needs a good cleaning. It's just like a spring cleaning, get to brush out all the cobwebs. So I'm of two minds on the whole thing. I think it does need to be done, but I think a lot of people tend to overuse it and think it's more important than it is, because ultimately psychic hygiene is really about controlling your own reactions and your own responses to external things that happen and how you view them.
Okay. No, I tend to agree with you, and I think that, someone's sending me bad energy. Well, I think bad energy, I've had a bad day, and does that linger in my space? If there's been some things going on, maybe you're having a conflict with someone, does that energy kind of build up without conscious effort? Absolutely, I think it does. So the occasional cleansing is, definitely something that can be done. Whether it is physical, just a saltwater bath will clear a lot from yourself. a conscious grounding, because a lot of people don't ground well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not taught to ground well, you can carry around a lot of just extra energy that can, for lack of a better word, get a little stagnant. So, grounding at the end of a ritual is always a good idea. And one method of grounding is just simply to visualize roots growing into the ground and the excess energy just flowing into the mother. I tend to visualize running water washing away all the excess energy, and have developed a habit of grounding periodically in the shower while I actually have physical water running across my body. And I have found that is very good at keeping a kind of an even place, because I do tend to carry a bit of energy around with me on a good day. So I have learned that for myself, I tend to ground regularly, not necessarily every day, but some regular form of grounding is never a bad idea. Clean the house. Icky energy loves cobwebs and dirty corners. Sweep the house, clean the house. It's amazing how much you can lighten the atmosphere of a room by cleaning it. Just
very
straight
true.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry so much about, is someone attacking me? Probably not. Very few people have the, particularly the ones that you think are attacking, you probably don't have the emotional ability to focus for that long to do any damage.
Uh-huh.
Just the amount of energy necessary to send bad energy at someone is so tremendous. Most people just aren't that dedicated.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Going on in their lives.
Exactly. I mean, so really, it's probably just, maybe something you're supposed to learn from. Maybe there's some lesson, as we've already mentioned. And then clean the house, ground your energy, and see if that doesn't just lighten up everything. So there we are. Let's see. Our guest has arrived. Yay!
Awesome.
I'm going to go ahead and bring him in, and we'll be a little late going to the break, but we'll go ahead and bring him in and talk briefly. And Mojo, are you with us?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hi.
Doing well. Hope everything's okay with you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you guys. I just... I'm in a transition period at work, and stuff just went a little bit longer than what I'd hoped for. And I'll just leave it at that, man. But I'm glad to be talking to you guys.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. Yeah,
we were really
killing time with an Askowitz show, so we were doing good. So we're going to be a little truncated, so I'm going to shoot a few things at you pretty quick. Generally, we like to invite our guests to tell people about themselves, and then later in the show, we get them to introduce the song we're going to play. So I'm going to take out some of the stuff in between and ask you to tell the few people out there that don't know who you are a little bit about who you are, and then I know we're playing the song Valhalla tonight, so... After you tell about yourself, would you tell us the story of the song, how it came about, what it means to you, and why that was the song you wanted us to play tonight to share your work?
Sure, I can definitely do that. How much time do you got?
Well, let's do all of this part in about 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll talk after the break.
Okay. No problem. Well, folks, as you guys have already heard, my name's Mojo Kemp. I've been a Wiccan for over 20 years now. I started this path back in the 90s after I got out of the military, and I went from everybody telling me what to do to nobody caring about me.
Mm.
So that was a pretty big shock to the system. So I was looking for something. I didn't know what it was called. And one day up here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, it happened to be National Nudist Day, and
uh-huh.
I was down on world famous Wreck Beach. And you know, as soon as I spread a little suntan lotion on my buns, I opened up this magazine that I picked up at the top of the stairs. It was celebrating nudism. But as I leafed through the magazine, this ad jumped out and caught my eye, and it was an ad for shamanic witchcraft. And I'd always liked mythology. I'd always liked the Greek gods. I just didn't ever thought that people were still worshiping these types of deity. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I saw. It actually leapt an inch off the page. And I knew I had to do whatever it took to take those classes. And so I managed to take the classes. They weren't cheap. It did come at a great financial burden to myself. But at the end of the day, you know, what's the price of enlightenment? You know, if I don't take that course, I'm not where I am today. I'm not talking to you fine folks and all your lovely listeners. So there I was. I found the path. So, you know, I was not one of these folks that knew of Wicca and just didn't know anybody. I didn't even know Wicca existed until the day I found it. Right? So I hear tales of people that, you know, have such a hard time finding community. And while I empathize with them, I certainly don't know what it's like. So there I was. I found my community. I started going to sabbats and the public, semi-public community we have up here. And sometimes there were drums and sometimes there weren't. And I really enjoyed the times there were drums there. And then, you know, it just dawned on me that the only way that I can ensure that there will be drums at every ritual I go to is to go buy a drum. And so that's what I did. I had a habit of throwing all my change into a coffee tin. As stereotypical as that sounds, it's actually true. I took all that change to the bank. I had exactly $255.73. My drum came out to $255.53. I came home and I threw two dimes back in the can.
Seeds.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I started playing. Yeah, exactly. And so I just started playing the drum. And, you know, I'm okay. I can carry my own drum, so to speak. And it was along a couple years after that. And I always enjoyed music and I enjoyed chanting, stuff like that. And it was about 2000 when I talked to a couple of musical people in my coven. I said, hey, let's maybe see if we can't work something out and actually get home and practice some stuff and see where it goes. And that's how Parnassus was born. And of course, we released an album on Parnassus called First Degree. And a couple of years after that, some personnel changes happened and Parnassus became Chalice and Blade. And mm-hmm. Chalice and Blade went for a couple of years and we released Wild Hunt, which we're all very proud of. And then about 10 years ago, and if you guys haven't already picked up on it, I really do love the sound of my own voice.
Well, you are our guest. They hear us talk all the time, so please continue.
So I'd always, even when I was a kid, I just loved the music. I loved being a DJ. I wanted to be a DJ, but never came around. And then, you know, probably 13, 14 years ago, started listening to some WPBN, the Wiccan Pagan Broadcast Network. And it came out once a month out of Denver, and I was enthralled. I thought, this is so cool. This is, I would love to do this, but the technology is just a little bit out of my ability. You know, I'm not a tech guy. I do okay with a cassette recorder, but past that, it was just a little too far out of my reach until podcasts were invented.
Mm.
And then, you know, Audacity made recording on the computer almost exactly like recording with a cassette player, my old cassette player back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And suddenly I had the technology, I had the capability. So me and Sparrow and I sat down and we decided to start the Wigglian Way Pagan Podcast. We were we weren't the first ones, but we were pretty close to being the first one of the first pagan podcasts out there, and we've been podcasting now. We're in our 11th year.
Wow.
Very cool.
Chalice and Blade, unfortunately, has since broken up, but I've continued to work on my playing and writing some stuff. And I'm, as you guys know, I'm playing Caldera Fest in October, and I hope to have my solo album ready by then. My guitar teacher has hopped on as producer, so that will be ready by October. And
excellent.
I'm also a licensed minister here in BC with the Animist
Reformed
Shaman group I'm with, the Sajik Tirthram. I am a licensed minister in BC and Alberta.
Hmm.
So that's me in a nutshell.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you. I mean, it's always nice to have people that come on the radio and talk to us. I'm sure after 11 years, you've had some guests that went, yes. No. So it's good to have someone that does enjoy speaking. So thank you very much for that intro. Now, tonight we are planning to play a song called Valhalla. And I understand that you specifically requested we play that song for you tonight. So it is always our custom to ask the performer to tell us about this song, why it is meaningful to you, and you know some of the story of how it came about.
Sure, that's no problem. I recently checked my DNA, and I always kind of knew what part of the world my family came from, but I got my DNA test results, and I'm mostly of a Northern European. I'm mostly from Viking stock. So Vikings have always held a close place to my heart. I don't particularly worship the Asatru guys, but I claim Viking blood. So one day I had this cool riff on the guitar, and for me, music usually comes first before lyrics. So I had this cool riff. And I really didn't know what I wanted to write about. And I was just sort of looking around. And I don't know if anyone's ever, I'm not sure if the pictures are online or anything, but I've got a 3/4 sleeve tattoo on my left arm. And that 3/4 sleeve tattoo is about the last soul that gets into Valhalla before the Ragnarok starts. So I thought, you know, so that's my tattoo. So really it starts with the tattoo and honor being very, very important to me. So this tattoo is all about, you know, honor. The honor will get into Valhalla. So
yeah.
It's all about okay. Honor. And I believe, you know, tattoos are magical if, you know, your intent is to put them on your body is magical. So my tattoos are magical, And what I believe is when you put a symbol like this tattoo that has a giant Valkyrie coming down to grab your soul to take it to Valhalla, those Valkyrie, you've caught their attention now. You've caught their attention by putting that tattoo on you, and you're basically saying, I'm an honorable man, I'm an honorable person, and I'm going to Valhalla. So you better be honorable. You know, you better live your life in an honorable way. So
yeah, you make a declaration like that, you better live up to it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, you don't tattoo these pictures and people that, you know, they get deity images tattooed on them and they go around and they just think of it as ink. And, you know, it's not just ink. You've made a link. You're calling to that deity going, hey, look at me. And, you know, sometimes they're looking at you. So you better, you know, it's like a Santa Claus thing. You better be being good when they happen to be looking at you. Right? Or you better be honoring them in whatever behavior you choose to do. So if you know, if I got this tattoo on my arm that states to the world and other dimensions that I'm an honorable guy, then I need to do my best in my life to be honorable. So that's where Valhalla came from. Valhalla is all about being honorable and getting your soul into Valhalla.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and listen to it, and then we've got an ad we have to play and stuff like that. So everybody stick around. We're going to play Valhalla by our guest, Mojo Kemp. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for sharing this song. Here we go. And now, a message from our friends at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And also tonight, we're joined by Mojo Kemp. Hey, Robin. Hey, Mojo.
Hi.
Hey, Terry.
We're back.
All right. So, very cool song. Thank you for sharing that with us. And
no problem. Thanks.
Ahead.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for playing
it. So, during the break, we were talking about honor, and both of us being former military, we kind of have an understanding. Of course, that's not necessary to understand honor. I think everyone can. It definitely instills in us a certain sense of honor. And I was telling someone today that honor is about following your professed set of rules. If this is how I say a good person lives, you don't have to agree with my list of rules, and I don't have to agree with yours, but I can respect you for following your set of rules. And that is honor. So
that's definitely honor. And you know in your heart, you know when you're being honorable and when you're being dishonorable. You know, no one else can tell you. You know in your heart when you're being dishonorable.
Absolutely. So we are kind of running short tonight. So how does someone get in touch with you? Where are you going to be appearing? How does someone come see you? What you got going on?
Well, I am mostly appearing at open mics here and around the Lower Mainland as I fine-tune some songs to go into the studio with. I had probably my first disappointing music studio situation last year. I went in and recorded some songs, and when I listened back to them, I realized that I was not nearly practiced enough. So I am going to make sure I'm not doing that mistake again. And so I'm not going to any festivals. I'm not traveling. I'm just mostly staying at home and concentrating. Some of my new songs got some complicated finger picking, and it's my first attempt at that style of playing. And what became apparent to me in the studio is every mistake that you make that you don't hear when you're playing it live, you hear when you're listening back to it. When you're playing the finger when you're finger picking, every note has to be right. You can't let, a strum, when you're strumming, you miss a note, you can kind of cover it up with the four or five other notes that you're playing. When you're playing one note at a time, they all got to be right. So that's musically, that's what's happening for me right now. Folks can listen to me, of course, on The Wigglian Way. That's at www.thewigglianway.ca, or you can find us on iTunes if you just look just in your search bar, The Wigglian Way, and we'll definitely pop up for you. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, all the usual things, or what have become the usual thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. How can somebody find you on Facebook? What's your Facebook page name?
My artist name is Mojo Kemp,
mm-hmm.
and my regular Facebook is just Mo Joe. Mo in the first name, Joe in the last name. Please don't report me.
Fair enough. All right. Well, thanks again for being with us. Sorry it was a short visit, but we look forward to continuing some of these conversations at another time and to maybe getting together and hanging out some at Caldera Fest. I'm so looking forward to being there the second go-around.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, I wish I could have been out there last year, too, because it seems like from everything I hear, it was a great time. Looking forward to going out there this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be in a cooler month. Last year it was so hot in June, and this year they moved it to October. Very smart move. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
David's got a handle on this.
And let's hope that Canadians can still come to the United States in October.
Yeah, well, that whole milk argument going on up in Wisconsin or wherever that is, or what? I just heard something about some dairy farmers are having an argument with Canada. I'm like, what now?
I don't know. You know, I try to stay out of politics as much as I can. You know, as political as I get is a happy 420 day, and Kinder Morgan's building a pipeline less than 400 meters from my house. So that's as political as I get.
All right, I can live with that.
Everything you guys hear about Kinder Morgan and that pipeline, I can throw a baseball and almost hit that pipeline.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. They have pipeline going in and around here, too, with all the natural gas where we live in north central Pennsylvania, and it's very controversial. I work in the water industry, water testing, and for a water utility, and it can be cause for great concern, a lot of this that's going on.
Yeah. One day the mother's just going to get tired of us and shake us all off.
Yep, just like fleas off a dog.
You know, and it'll go back to being nothing but tyrannies and cockroaches again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, start over.
But not today, my friend.
Tried it once with the reptiles. That didn't work. Shook them off. Tried mammals, and we'll see if we can, you know, not screw it up. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mojo, thanks for being with us. Robin, how does someone get in touch with us?
Aha. You've asked the magic question. Uh-huh. You can reach myself and or Terry at the littlestonebridge@gmail email address. We both check that email address. And if you want to catch our attention with something in particular, please put something interesting in the subject to let us know what it is. Don't just say, hi, Terry and Robin, because like you and every other email scammer in the world will do that. So, you know, say question about show or need to get in touch with you in reference to workshop or whatever. Also, you can reach us on Facebook at Little Stonebridge Pathworkings. You can also reach me at Robin A. McKean on Facebook, and Terry's Facebook page is Rev Terry Power HP, and there's also the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page as well. So lots of good ways to reach us.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've got topic ideas for shows, if you want us to come speak at your event or put on a workshop for us to come and speak, please, you know, feel free to email littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And also, Send us your event information. If you've got an event you want us to start listing, very soon we're going to have that segment at the end of our Thursday night shows talking about events that are coming up all around the planet. So we've got listeners all around the planet, so don't hesitate to tell us about an event in the UK or Brazil or Australia, South Africa. I know we've got listeners in all those places. Please let us know about your events as well, and we will share it. And speaking of events, Robin, where are we going to be in June?
We will be at Ishtar Sumerfest, which is going to be a really cool event. It is the Sumerian Ren Fair. Come dressed as a Sumerian god or goddess or character from their town, like a merchant or farmer, scribe, whatever moves you, and to get a free crescent roll when you get to the event, as well as it's just going to be a great time. Free, it's a camping event, 3 days. There will be a feast on Saturday night, which is included with the price of admission, and there's kids track that they keep the kids busy so you can go to the adult classes. There will be vendors and crafts and just all kinds of manner of fun, coolness, and awesomeness.
Yeah, come walk like a Sumerian.
Yeah, come on down and walk like a Sumerian.
So I think the price is, what, $75 for the entire weekend, including two rituals,
yes.
Full moon ritual on Friday night, ritual on Saturday, followed by a feast. So all of that for a low, low price of $75. Really can't beat that deal, guys. Come on out to Central New Jersey on 9, 10, and 11 June.
Yep. And
if
go
you
and
want
check
more information,
see all the...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, talking over. Yeah, go to handsofchange.org. And all the information, registration forms, everything you need to know is at handsofchange.org. There we go. All right, Mojo, did you have anything that you wanted to say? We've got a couple of minutes left. Anything we didn't ask you about that you would like to talk about real quick?
No, I just wanted to say again, thanks for having me on the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening and supporting not only this show, but all pagan podcasts and all pagan internet radio around the world. You guys are the reasons why we do what we do. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And I look forward to seeing everybody out at Caldera Fest and meeting Terry and Robin face to face.
Look forward to it as
really
well. All right, well, thanks again. And yeah, he stole some of my clothes there. I say some of the same stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are the reason we do this. And, you have a lot of ways you could spend your time, and you choose to spend some of it with us. Thank you. And with that, we will wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.